Welcome to Focus on the Community. I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media Newsroom, and today we are going to focus on one of the state representative races in our area. District 42 is currently held by Republican Alan Morrison, and he is being challenged this year by Mark Spellbring of Park County. And Mark, first of all, welcome to Focus on the Community.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you in studio this weekend. And first of all, before we get a little bit of information about you, give the listeners a quick update on what District 42 covers in West Central Indiana.
Good idea, because a lot of people are confused with this. As we know, every 10 years we do the census. The districts are changed at that point. So the main district changes this time. Park County is all in District 42. It was not before. The amount in Fountain County was reduced dramatically, that there's only two townships there that are part of it. Warren County, not a part of it anymore. All of Vermilion is. Clay County, they added a good bit more of the county over there. Everything north of about, say, Road 42, it's actually Cass, Jackson, and Van Buren townships all went in. And then in Vigo County, they added a little bit. It's Fayette and Nevins townships and part of Otter Creek and Lost Creek, just precincts in those. So there were some changes that kind of wrapped around the Terre Haute area and extended into Clay County and part of the rest of Park County are the primary changes.
Now, you know, I'm a former legislator, so I got to ask the baseline. Did that make this district more Republican or a little less Republican or what?
To tell the truth, I do not know.
We really won't know, really,
yeah,
because this is the first year for the district.
Exactly.
Right?
It's the first year of the district, and it seems like I've had a history of doing that. The last time I ran for this race, actually 10 years ago, was the first year of the district. So you don't have a lot of history to know what's going on in the district before that time.
Give people some background about your professional work and your education and so forth.
Well, I'm originally from Clay County. That's actually one of the things with the change in the district. It includes the farm that my brother and I still operate over at the Poland area. So raised on a farm over there, a farm that had a lot of conservation work on it. Went to grade school in Poland, two-room school. Yes, I'm that old. Graduated from Brazil High School in 71. And I actually went to Rose for a year and then transferred to Purdue and got 2 degrees at Purdue. And went into the Cooperative Extension Service work. So it's basically public service type of work that I did throughout my entire career. Oh. Part of that included living in Vermilion County for 10 years, working there for 17, and actually some overlap, and living in Park County and working there in both counties as a county extension director and an agriculture natural resource, as well as community development educator. So the type of work where you're listening to what people in the community have as their concerns, and trying to provide educational information that will help them improve their lives.
And you ran for state rep before, right?
That's right. In 2012, that was actually right after I retired from Purdue Extension. I ran then, and it was an extremely close race, but I came up just slightly on the short end.
And was that against Representative Morrison as well?
Yes, it was. It was an open seat. State Representative Dale Grubb had retired and was not running again, so it was an open seat at that time.
I served with Grubby, so okay, very good.
Good man.
So let's talk about your platform, I guess. What do you think people should be thinking about when it comes to Indiana's General Assembly right now?
I guess I think public education is the highest priority issue that comes to my mind. We've watched actually for several years as it seems like some people have disrespected teachers, you know, talked down the schools, not been very supportive of the public schools in particular. You know, they pull money from the public schools and share it off with the private schools and such. So I've had real concerns, and it's not just the funding and such, as well as it's the overall impression that a lot of people in leadership have given towards schools. I think we need to, three R's that I've talked about is respect teachers, restore funding that needs to be there, and you know, reinvest in education is the way that we need to be able to do that, and return local control is the other piece of it. As we saw in the legislature last year, there were several bills that came through. My opponent voted for some of these that were quite restrictive, and some almost seemed silly. It was like, okay, a teacher would have to present their entire lesson plan for the whole year before the year even started. And you think, well, does that really make sense? Well, the idea is the legislature apparently wanted to know what everybody was going to be talking about. And we saw other examples of that. They want you to teach history in the way they want history taught, you know, and so that you're not offending certain people in the way you're doing lessons in history. There, The outlandish one was even someone said that if you teach about Nazism, you have to teach both sides, the benefits and the downside of it.
Oh, yeah, that was a senator,
I think. That was a senator,
made
yeah.
that comment.
But
that,
overall, what
he retracted that later, I understood.
Yes,
but
he did.
He caught so much flack.
But overall, it seemed that the House was more on the extreme side with some of these types of things. And my opponent was a part of that, what I refer to as kind of the extreme side of the House. Actually, the state Senate cleaned up some of those things, and that was good. But it seemed to me that the House was kind of on the extreme side. And in particular, that's getting away from one of those R's, that returning local control to the schools is something I think is important.
Have the Indiana State Teachers PAC endorsed either candidate in this race?
No, they have not endorsed anyone in this race.
Are you anticipating possibly an endorsement from ISTA?
Don't know whether that'll come to pass or not.
Okay. And just from my perspective, I mean, yeah, you want to be endorsed by them, especially running for the State House. But I also think, too, in today's world, they always are a little reluctant, any of these PACs, to go against an incumbent. So that's the one thing they don't want to do is make someone mad. So I could see them kind of teeter-tottering a little bit on that.
Absolutely. The one endorsement that I do have that's a different field is from Indiana Farm Bureau's Ag Elect.
Okay.
And so there again, that goes into the background that I've had, raised on the farm, still farming part-time now, working in Ag Extension for many years. They know me well, and I actually had their endorsement in 12, so I'm very pleased to have that. And the one thing I think is kind of interesting is I'm a former municipal official. I was elected clerk treasurer of the town of Rockville and served a term there. So I really kind of wonder how many municipal officials have been endorsed by Farm Bureau, because they seem to kind of be in opposite ends of the spectrum, you know, geographically, but I've got the support, I think, in both of those cases.
So I take it you still live in Rockville then, right?
I still live in Rockville.
Okay, very good.
27 years.
What, if you had to, like, would you make the appeal to people in the district listening, why do you think that we need a different representative?
Well, that's one of the key points, I think, is I didn't jump into this in the primary. I actually was added to the ballot after no one filed in the primary. But you look at, why should you change? And I thought the job of a state representative to me is a couple primary things. One is being out and about in the district and hearing what people are concerned about. And the second piece is then representing those people in the legislature. And it seems that my opponent is not out and about in those things. The Cracker Barrel sessions, I helped create the ones in Park County that he was not present at. They do them in Vigo County monthly. He doesn't show up at any of those things. As I talk to people, a lot of them say they just don't see this individual. And so the question becomes, how can you represent them if you never go out and meet them, if you're not there when those opportunities are made to be able to listen to what the people think? Then the second piece of that is, how do you represent them when you get to Indianapolis? And that's where I think he's been more on the extreme side. I don't believe this area is full of extremists. I think we're pretty moderate, pretty middle-of-the-road people here in West Central Indiana. And so if you're going to be representing people of that type, then you need to be using moderate positions that are going to be kind of middle-of-the-road and, you know, just looking to improve people's lives, but not, you know, out on the extremes.
Boy, when I served, it was in a very tough district, and I showed up for everything because you didn't want to, you know, be seen as being absent, for instance. But I guess the more leaning a district might be, perhaps the current representative thinks, well, maybe it doesn't matter if I go or not. But these things do kind of matter when it comes to a Third House event or a Cracker Barrel session, because people want to know where you stand, especially when the General Assembly is in session.
Absolutely. And as I said, I was on the other side of that. I helped create the Cracker Barrels in Park County. Actually, in 96 is the first ones that we did.
That's the year I got elected.
I could tell you all the people that were there.
Yeah.
But at that time, Park County actually had pieces of five different districts. And I believe all five, two senators and three representatives, they all showed up. And for many years, that was an excellent program done in conjunction with the Maple Fair. I actually was the moderator of that probably 15 times or something like that over the years.
Okay.
So it's a good opportunity for the public to come and interface with the representatives and senators. And if they don't show up, you know, it's very frustrating, for example, to those who put those programs together. They put a lot of work into trying to get that set up. And then somebody doesn't show up and everyone is disappointed.
We're talking with Mark Spellbring. He is the Democratic candidate for state representative in District 42. He is challenging Republican Alan Morrison. And we're talking about why he'd like to be elected to the State House. Mark, let's touch on an issue that's been kind of front and center this past summer. Supreme Court with the Dobbs decision. They've overruled Roe versus Wade, sent it back to the states. The Hoosier state, the General Assembly, had a special session. They were the first state in the country to pass their own specific legislation after the Dobbs decision. And now, just as recently as this past Thursday, you've got a Owen County judge in the Monroe County court that apparently has issued an order to stay the new law and to try to delay it. First of all, where do you stand on this issue right now?
Well, I think the way Indiana had that set up prior to the Dobbs decision was probably about the appropriate way to have that. Again, a moderate type of position. You should have some restrictions on abortion. You certainly don't want the late term types of situations that we've had. But at the same time, you don't want to be extreme on the other side to where the example from Ohio with the 10-year-old girl that was raped and could not have an abortion. And it does not make sense to me either to be able to be forcing people in that kind of a situation. So I think it's appropriate for that to be a choice or decision, and I prefer the word decision to the word choice, for women in consultation with their doctors, in many cases in consultation with clergy, to make that decision on their own. At some point, you do have that restrictions added into that as you get later on into the pregnancy. But I think we need to be much more reasonable about that. And in particular, one of the things that I fear is the law, the way they have it set up, is not very clear. And so you could have doctors, for example, that, you know, understand some of these things where it deals with the health of the woman and whether or not she is in dire straits of her own health. Do they go ahead and, you know, do some type of a treatment for her? Or do doctors just say, this is too confusing, this is too hazardous for my medical license, I'm going to just go in another state where it's not such a confusing mess?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been trying to explain this to some friends of mine, you know, soon after the Indiana law was passed and the governor signed it same night, which is surprising, but they passed it on what I call a hyper schedule, I guess. But, you know, all these big companies came out right afterwards, some of our biggest employers, and said, hey, this is not really something that we should have been pushing through the legislature at warp speed. But yeah, Indiana University Medical, they're very concerned that a lot of doctors who practice, you know, across the board, not just with the treatment of women, but they're concerned that they may find another place to go and practice because they're worried about the possible liability if they do try to save a woman and someone claims that the abortion took place that wasn't necessary, or doctor decided it was best in the best interest of that patient. They're just worried about lawsuits now, the way this law is set up, is how I understand.
Right.
Does that concern you?
Absolutely. Doctors should be concerned about medical issues, not concerned about lawsuits. And quite frankly, in Indiana, we don't have the luxury of being at the top of health care across the nation. I've looked at some numbers, you know, overall health for Indiana being ranked like 40th, 41st or something like that. You know, it's not like we're at the very top of that. We need to be providing good medical care, and we certainly don't want to be having doctors decide, no, this is too dangerous for me to be doing this because of legal reasons, because of something the legislature has done, and decide to go practice somewhere else.
You know, the one thing that's so different from when I served, and I guess it seems like a long time ago, 1996, when Frank O'Bannon got elected governor, and he was a great guy, and bless him, but I served till 2008, but I served in the majority for 10 of 12 years as a Democrat. Well, now the Democrats can't even break quorum, and for those that don't understand what that means, even when I served in the majority party, if the Republicans didn't like the way things were going, they could call a caucus, walk off the floor, shut the whole process down, and we couldn't do business unless they were back on the floor. But now, the supermajority in Indiana, we've got, what, 41 senators, I think, out of 50, only 9 Democrats and 41 Republicans. And
I believe that's right.
Yeah, and I think the House is, what, 69-31 in favor of the Republicans, something like that?
Either that or maybe 71-29. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's small.
It's
extreme. But the problem is you don't even have a third of the members who can actually say, hey, we object, we want to go to caucus and talk about this, let's shut the process down until maybe calmer heads can figure out a compromise. Republicans can pretty much just run roughshod over Democrats in the state right now and pass whatever they want. And They can do it quickly, and they can do it without much resistance. No resistance, actually. I would have the same concern if it was the other way around, even if the Democrats had such a supermajority. To me, that just doesn't seem like that's a good way to reach consensus. If one party has so much power, they just kind of knock the other side down and do whatever they want all the time.
That's absolutely true. And I think that's where we need to look at, where do we stand in Indiana, like among the states? As I just gave you some examples from a couple of health things. Teacher pay, if you want to look at education, where are we on that? You know, we're one of the lower states on teacher pay. So we've got, you know, infant mortality and maternal mortality, and life expectancy are not that good. Our gas tax is extremely high, you know. So the question you would have to ask is, are we being well served by the supermajority that's there? Because as you say, and it's been 10 years that there's been a supermajority in the House. So it's a question of, if you're satisfied with the way things are, maybe that's what you want to do. But there are a lot of things that really raise questions of whether we are functioning in the way that we should. Are we happy with what we've got? Because it's the result of the supermajority that we have some of those issues.
You know, I have to admit, I enjoyed serving. It was a great privilege, and enjoyed my 12 years at the General Assembly. But since then, now that we've got such a lopsided composition, and now you see how toxic things have become nationally, why in the world would a nice guy like you want to become a state representative in today's political environment?
Well, it's kind of a question of, you know, if not me, who? I think you look at these types of things, you look at the situation that we're in, and we can be better than this. You know, we are better than this, but we're not showing it. So I don't think sometimes our leadership is stepping up to the plate and serving us as well as they should in trying to be properly leading the communities and the state in the way that we need to be making progress.
Well, and by the way, I've ran into your opponent once. I live down in Brazil now, so I did see him a few months ago. So, but that was the first time in 5 years that I'd seen him around Brazil, where apparently he lives. But I don't see him much either. So I do think that's a weakness that he does have. But maybe he's busy with his regular job. I don't know. But perhaps we'll see him more between now and election time. And Representative, if you're listening, I'm always fair. You get equal time if you want to come in and do a show with me soon, and we'll talk about where you stand on all the issues and why you should be retained. But back to your platform and the remaining moments we've got. What have we not touched on that you'd like the voters of District 42 to know about, Mark Spellbring?
Well, I think it is interesting that I have the farm background, and of course, agriculture is an important part of this area. You know, as I said, the district, I explained in some of my information, you know, I know the district extremely well and the agriculture part of it extremely well, all the way from the farm at Poland to the beef house is on the absolute opposite corner of that. And in extension work, I probably was part of 100 different educational programs up there with Purdue and the University of Illinois. So I do have that full understanding of agriculture. And then the local government side of things, there's some things that I learned as being clerk treasurer of the town of Rockville. And quick aside to that, I got there because after I retired, I got a part-time job as a reporter for the Park County Sentinel, and they assigned me to go cover the town. And so, you know, I was kind of sent there, and I learned and go, wait a minute, I think I could do that job, and ran. And for those that think elections don't matter, I won by one vote.
One vote in the town of Rockville, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so it's that vote does count. One thing about it is everybody you run into that voted for you will tell you that was my vote that got you there. And you owe me.
Of course. In our remaining moments, we're recording this from my Park County studio. And when I work out of this facility, it's a little frustrating because I'll get a cell phone call. I'll step out of the building, despite the fact that we've got our own boosters set up in here. But one thing that's so tragic about Park and Vermilion County especially, we're not up to speed with the rest of the state when it comes to both cell phone coverage and internet access. What can we do about that?
That's been an issue for a long time. I remember having a discussion about that actually once before when I ran. And there are cases where we hear people talk about a public-private partnership as to how you can do that. To me, that is the way we need to try to approach those things. There's some grant programs that have come through in trying to be able to improve cell service and also to get the high-speed internet and broadband that we need. You may have seen a recent article in the Tribune Star about whether Park County would become kind of the next haven for remote workers. And because you do have a lot of the beautiful countryside.
It's a beautiful county.
Yeah, it's a great place to be able to live. But can you get the service that you need to be able to, for example, have a business and be able to conduct business in
Absolutely.
That area? So I think that is something that's very important. There's some progress being made on that, but I think that is something that's very important for us to work on infrastructure, infrastructure of roads, infrastructure of broadband, several different things with infrastructure that we need to address.
I tried to stop the deregulation of telephone service in this state when I was in the legislature, and me and Representative Moses and Pierce, to name a couple, we failed because we couldn't stop AT&T and Verizon. They seemed to have the skids greased, as we used to call it, and I feared this day would come that, yeah, you might be able to have competition in places like Indianapolis, Carmel, Fort Wayne, Columbus, but when it comes to good old West Central Indiana, we're going to be last on the list to get expanded cell phone coverage and internet service. I will say, you mentioned infrastructure in the President Biden's recent infrastructure bill. There is a certain portion amount of money, and I notice it's happening in Southern Clay County, where they are going to use some of those funds that are in that infrastructure bill to try to start that partnership to where they can fill in some of the holes where there's not been high-speed internet available.
Well, there's significant progress being made in Park County. Of course, I shout out to Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company.
Yeah, they're
which
wonderful.
Which provides the internet service, and they do a great job.
I wish I had them in Clay County.
And Endeavor is actually coming up around the lake area. And so there are some progress being made by some of those companies. And I think we need to be able to work with them to encourage that and to facilitate that to the degree that we can. Because it's becoming, almost a requirement. Like we talk about water and sewer and some of those other kinds of things that all need attention as well, but it's becoming that much more important to us.
You got a couple of minutes left. Can you think about any issue or just a topic you'd like to share with the listeners this morning on why, first of all, they should vote, but why they should vote for Mark Spellbring for STEP representative versus the current representative, Alan Morrison?
Well, I think the biggest thing from my own background, and as I talked about being an extension and such, and whether or not my opponent gets out to a lot of things, I've been going to meetings, I've been involved in community types of things for many, many years. I had a little bit of thought about public education being number one, but I was an extension educator. That was actually the title that I had, and I was actually involved in some improvements, I think, that we've made in education services in Park County. Saw some information about a conservation day over in Vermilion County that was just held recently through the 4-H program. And that's the type of program that I think you need to be listening to people. You find out what's going on. You figure out ways in which you can be of service to help others. I know, actually, you and I are both in Rotary Club, and service above self is one of the phrases that we use there.
Absolutely.
But I've been involved in public service basically my entire life. That's what I enjoy doing. I think I have a capability to do that, and that's why I would like to be the state representative from District 42.
If people want to do a little research, is there a Facebook or something that you can share or any other ways to get a hold of you to talk about issues and such?
I actually have a Facebook page that's dedicated to the campaign. I changed the name of it from what it was before, so it actually is called Mark Spellbring for Good Government.
Okay.
And I was going to change that, but that really says it all.
Yeah.
But that can be searched for, and it will say Spellbring 442. And I'm in the phone book. That may sound kind of silly
There's
to say that.
Books?
There are phone books, and my name is in it. So if someone has an issue that they want to discuss, they're certainly welcome to call me at the Rockville phone number that they'll find in the book.
Are you comfortable giving your email out?
Certainly can do that. It's M. Spellbring, and if you're not familiar, that's 1L, mspellbring@sbcglobal.net.
mspellbring@sbcglobal.net.
Exactly.
Okay. Mark Spellbring, our special guest today on Focus on the Community. My goodness, this fall weather really hit us quickly on Thursday and Friday, and here it is the weekend. It's almost time for the Bridge Festival and a lot of things going on, but Election Day is just not too far away, November 8th.
Yes, and I believe absentee ballots are being mailed out about now, so any of you that are receiving those in the mail, certainly hope you would consider me. And early voting, I believe, starts on October the 12th, so it's not that far away.
And that's a good point. That we ought to point this out. If someone wants to register, they have to register before October 11th, but do keep in mind, Columbus Day is the 10th. That's usually a holiday, so you can't always get into the courthouses on that day. So if you haven't registered to vote, do that before the weekend of Columbus Day, and then you'll be ready to vote in Indiana come October, 12th or so.
Yes, early voting starts on the 12th. And online registration can also be done. So go ahead and search for that if you need need help in being able to get yourself registered to vote.
All right, Mark, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it, and good luck and safe travels out on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much.
Our special guest has been Mark Spellbring. He is the Democratic candidate for state representative in District 42. And again, we have an open invitation that we will give to Alan Morrison, the current state representative, as we always try to give both sides of any issue here from the DLC Media News Center. This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. It is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 1049 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB, AM 1130, 1069, and 99.5, Sunday mornings at 1055 WVIG, and 7 a.m. on Sundays on 92.7 WFMB. For a download of this show and other past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.